Queridos hermanos y hermanas, it's a greeting I use wherever I am. And then I very quickly say, as you know, dear friends. First of all, this morning, a little playfulness with the gospel. We're invited to hear the text, to hear it carefully, maybe repeat it until we get a sense of the inner logic of any biblical text that's presented for us in terms of personal prayer or liturgical celebration, proclamation. We're intended to pay very close attention to it and to be conscious of what is there and sometimes what's not there. So, for example, when I read this and read it really carefully, I was struck by something once again. Namely, here's the text. A man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he couldn't see him because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. Now, my question, who was short? We all presume it was Zacchaeus. I mean, that's a prejudice on our part. But it could well have been that Jesus was the one who was the short guy, and that in the crowd no one was able to see him. So this might be an affirmation of those who are height-challenged in our society, and a blessing for anybody who says, I wish I were a little taller so I could see what was going on, or I could see the people on the edge of the crowd if you're in the center of it. Anyway, a little playfulness. Read it carefully, because who knows what is there and isn't there, and therefore what prejudices we bring when we hear it. The other is a little more serious, if you will, and it's the basis on which I want to ponder with you together this morning. Later on in the text, because everybody presumes this is a conversion story. But later on in the text, you heard it a moment ago, Deacon James proclaimed it, Zacchaeus stood there, dug his heels in when he came down from the tree, and he said, look, half my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over. But you know what? The Greek is a little different. The Greek doesn't say future. It doesn't say I will give. The Greek is present. In other words, it's didomi. In other words, the Greek has Zacchaeus saying, look, I give half my possessions to the poor. And the Greek says, if I extorted anything, I repay four times over. So I'm not really sure that this is a conversion story. When I read it, I find something a little different. Now, it's true that it could be a conversion story. Because, for example, at a charity auction, you stand up and you say, I give $1,000. You haven't given it yet. It's somewhere in the future. You made the decision. You announce it, so you're kind of held to it socially. But it could be that curious blend between present and future. So maybe this is a conversion story. Maybe it is. But maybe it isn't. And consequently, if it isn't, then there is enough basis for a different take on this wonderful story of Zacchaeus. Maybe Zacchaeus, climbing down from his sycamore tree, represents a very different, legitimate moral code and spirituality. Let's explore that. There were many religious movements in Judea in the first century. There are all kinds of movements. There were the Pharisees, and I always go out of my way to defend them because they were wonderful people. And they were very generous, and they were very devoted. And if we want to understand them, we have to realize that what they said, Pharisees, they said, we will do in our homes exactly what they do in the temple. If they purify things, if they wash the food, the offerings, we will do that in our home because meals, family meals, are very holy things. And if there is some, you know, negative judgments about the Pharisees, well, remember that the Gospels were written later on in the century, and there already were some rather severe debates and arguments between early Christians and the Pharisees, so it reflects some of the arguments and some of the challenges back and forth, but not, sometimes I think Pharisees don't get a good read in the New Testament. So that was one group. There were also the Sadducees, and next Sunday we'll get a close look at them. They were Sadducees because they said, whatever is in the text, that's all we accept. And don't give us something from tradition because it has to be written down. So they, as we'll find out next Sunday, they weren't convinced that there was anything about resurrection. If it wasn't written, they didn't believe it. But then there were the Essenes, who said the whole business is corrupt. And the Essenes marched out into the desert and lived out there waiting for God to come in and clean up the whole world. That was another group. And then there was this group called the God-fearers, who were very good people. And maybe Zacchaeus was one of those. God-fearers. They were generous. They were very honest. They weren't so sure about some of the specifics of Judaism, the kosher diet. They weren't so sure about that. Circumcision, not so sure. But they were God seekers because they really were concerned about the mystery of God. And they were impressed by the Jewish tradition. And they wanted to be like them, but not necessarily yet one of them. So that's one thing. Then Luke's gospel was written to the affluent. Helpful to remember that. Luke was writing to educated, affluent people. And so, in contrast, for example, to Matthew, who wrote to this group of mixed Jews and Gentiles, Luke was writing to wealthy people. And so there are all kinds of stories about generosity to the poor, and invitations, admonitions to be caring for the poor, a warning against greed in all its forms. Warning against any kind of judgment about other people who are different than yourself. The prodigal son story is not just about the prodigal son, but it's the other son who did everything right and thought he was better than anybody else. You know, so Luke's gospel has its own take. And then, in the context of Luke's gospel, you've got the tax collectors, who in fact were universally disliked. And in that society particularly, they were very dishonest people. You received as a tax collector the amount of money you were expected to raise. And if you raised anybody else, anything more, that was yours. So you had to educate your kids, you had to send them to college, you had to take care of whatever, you had to get a new car. Well, then you just collect a little more to take care of your own household. But people didn't like them very much. Jesus constantly reached out to the tax collectors, and he was eating with them. And in Luke's gospel, every meal is a conversion story, an opportunity for conversion. They talked about important things, as I hope we all do when we have family meals, not just the playfulness and what's going on and what awful thing happened at school, but, you know, conversion stories, either conversion accepted or rejected. Luke has Jesus reaching out, never demanding that those tax collectors resign from the system, but encouraging them to change the system so that it becomes honest and fair. Back at the beginning of Luke's gospel, John the Baptist preaches a very strong message, and different groups come up to him. It's in Luke's gospel. Different groups come up to him. And they say, well, what should we do? The multitude say, what should we do? The tax collectors come to John the Baptist in the third chapter of Luke's gospel and say, what should we do? And Jesus doesn't say, quit your job. He says, just take what is appointed for you. So, in this gospel, Jesus, if you listen closely, changed his mind. He was going to go through Jericho. He's going to pass right through and go up to Jerusalem. But there was Zacchaeus up in the tree. And he changed his mind and said, let's have dinner. Let's talk. So he recognizes that Zacchaeus was serious, that he was generous, that he was honest, that he was a seeker, and not concerned about his personal dignity because he was willing to climb up on a tree, which maybe not very many of us would be willing to do. Maybe this is a conversion story. Maybe it's much more. Maybe it's an invitation to work for the transformation of all of society. Maybe it's a recognition that there are different kinds of spiritualities. Not everyone needs to eat kosher food. Pharisees tithed. We heard that last week. One-tenth. Zacchaeus gives a half. Maybe this is a story about reuniting across different groups for the common good. I always like to say the whole purpose of the church is to praise God by transforming the world. That's kind of a shorthand version. That's what we're all about. Praise God by transforming the world. By breaking down the divisions, by healing social distinctions so that they don't oppose each other, by encouraging respect. And in this terribly polarized society, with stubborn, often dismissive, judgmental people, this gospel is really very, very good. I think suddenly of my mother and dad. My mother was a very determined Democrat. My father was a very determined Republican. And after Mother died, my dad said to me once, you know, he said, it's not so much fun voting anymore because I always voted against her. Well, you know, in our divided society, maybe this is a wonderful gospel inviting us to figure out a way to together serve the common good. And maybe Jesus and Zacchaeus sitting down for supper might allow us to sit at the table and listen about what it means to heal a broken world. That's more than just our own individual conversion. It's a much bigger picture. Sisters and brothers, gospel of the Lord.